And it's 9:02. Get a roll call.
Alex?
Here.
Harrison? Jay?
Here.
McGuire?
Here.
Michaels?
Here.
Mitchell?
Here.
Carter? Cohort?
Present. Okay, next thing on the agenda is the approval of the agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Okay, it's open for discussion. Seeing all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Public participation. Do we have any? No? Okay, need approval of the minutes for January the 9th, 2015.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Second. And that's open for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Okay, the county and township motor fuel tax claim for January 2015.
Move approval.
I'll second.
Okay, any discussion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor, say aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Okay, we're going to our county engineer's report.
All right. So the first item, item number 7 there, jurisdictional transfer, Pasotum Road District. This is something that dates all the way back to the early 90s that a predecessor of my predecessor didn't take care of. So this is not new. This is very old, but IDOT has been doing a full inventory of all the roads in Champaign County, including their roads, the county roads, the township roads. And in their official inventory, County Road 16, going into Pasotum along 200 North was still a township road, and they still showed County Highway 16 turning north and then turning back again to the west to go into Pasotum. So this is basically a cleanup of something that never happened back in 1993 and 1994. I've included some memorandums that we found in our files between IDOT and Terry Gardner, which specifically talk about this jurisdictional transfer and the fact that the county and the township would take care of making the transfers of the roadways, but it just never happened. So IDOT has requested that we clean this up so that they can get it right in their database for roadways in Champaign County. So we have a resolution that authorizes the county board chair to sign the jurisdictional transfer documents. We've got a resolution providing for the addition of County Road 200 North, as you can see there on your map, which is where County Road 16 currently runs, right into Pasotum. And then we have a resolution deleting County Highway 16, which is the old County Highway 16, the way it used to lay out back in the early 90s, which turns to the north and then turns to the west. So we are already maintaining the piece that we're taking. The township's been maintaining the piece that we're giving them for the last 20-some years. It's just a matter of cleaning it all up for purposes of IDOT.
So there's no financial considerations because...
Yeah. Okay. Move to send these three related resolutions to the county board with the recommendation.
I'll second that.
Okay, open for discussion.
I counted right? There are three of them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? We did all three of these at one time.
Yes, ma'am. Okay. All right. Item number 8, petition and resolution appropriating funds for a bridge on 800 North in the village of Tolono. I think a lot of you probably are aware that there's a small structure just west of Tolono on 800 North that the village of Tolono is closed due to its deteriorated state. They did get a hold of me middle of January and asked if there was a way to have assistance from the county in replacing that structure. They're using a consulting firm, Farnsworth Group here in Champaign, as their village consultant. So I talked with the village consultant about the use of the county bridge fund, which specifically the statute lays out that the county bridge fund can be used for sharing of costs on bridges, on all township bridges and on villages under 15,000 population, as long as they meet the criteria of the, you know, the cost of the bridge is a high enough percentage and they have taxed appropriately for their road and bridge purposes in their township or village. So they did pass a resolution that is attached in here as well, petitioning county board for participation in the replacement of the bridge, asking that there be a 50-50 split of the construction cost of that bridge. The consultant has estimated the cost of replacing the structure to be $140,000. So our half would be roughly $70,000 for the replacement of that structure. So what we've talked about with the consultant is they'll develop the hydraulic report and the structural analysis for the bridge. And then they will send all that information to us, and we will take it from there. So we'll do the bidding on behalf of the village. We'll take care of the contract on behalf of the village. We'll oversee the construction, just trying to save them money because the consultant would charge them quite a pretty penny for all that. And then we'll pay the bills, and we'll bill Tolono, just like we do all townships, for their 50% of the project cost. So it's just like doing a bridge out in a township, only it's actually in a small village. So we're hoping that the consultant's already been working on it, so if they get everything to us here in the next few weeks, we can maybe have a bid in March, get it awarded through the county board in March, and then maybe construction in April or May, because right now the bridge is closed, so the road is closed. So they're wanting to expedite.
So moved.
Been moved and seconded by Diane.
Sure.
Oh, I thought you
no, sure. No, I was trying to get this here. No, yes, please, second.
So what do you see as a time framework for this project?
I would hope it's done by June 1st. Although I believe the village president's telling everybody the fall, just to be very safe.
Hey, Diane?
I just have a question. $70,000 is a pretty good amount compared to some of the other boxes mm-hmm. and stuff that we've done. How's that going to affect our fund?
We're okay in the bridge fund.
I'm almost wondering if this is one of those projects that was lined up, because usually you have a batch of them all lined up.
Right. Actually, last construction season, 2014, we had some pretty substantial projects mm-hmm. in the county bridge fund. This year, we don't have any real substantial county bridge projects. We've got a few township bridges mm-hmm. that are probably going to be $300,000-ish. But we don't have anything because of the Dewey Fisher Road project mm-hmm. this year, and that taking up all of our time and our effort as far as oversight. We just didn't plan a big county bridge project this year. So, I mean, it's not unusual when we talk about bridges. I mean, yeah, we inspect them every year. This one actually does not get inspected because it's under 20 feet, mm-hmm. so it falls underneath the criteria where we have to go inspect it mm-hmm. on a annual or semi-annual basis. So it wasn't even on our radar screen because it's not ours. We don't inspect it, and all of a sudden the consultant tells the village, you got to shut the road down. It's in such bad shape. So mm-hmm. they need help. Okay. I don't believe they even have enough funds to be able to do it if we did not help them.
Right. Lorraine?
Okay.
Thanks, Lorraine. Jeff, is the location map, it's included in the packet, yeah. an mm-hmm. official part of the resolution?
No.
Okay. I'd like to, before this comes to the board, I'd like to see added to the resolution at least the structure number. Because their resolution is pretty
short. Our resolution or theirs?
Our resolution.
Okay.
Just so it's clear what project we're funding.
Okay.
A bridge known as 800 North is not real descriptive.
Right.
On the
okay.
part of the village. So since you've already got the information on the location map, I
yeah.
think just use a, I'd use our regular language, a bridge in Section X Township.
Okay.
We'd put the structure number in.
All right.
We can do that.
Mm-hmm. All right. We will do that. That structure number, I think, has changed. We gave it a structure number, and then IDOT called and said, oh, that's not the right structure.
As long as we at least identify it by what section it's in.
Yeah. Okay. We will do that.
I have one more question.
Lorraine.
Okay, Jim.
Sorry. I think this came up last month in the newspaper. I just want to make sure that was the same bridge. There isn't another one. Okay.
Same one.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Same one.
Okay. Any more discussion?
I'd only like to add that it sees smaller municipalities grab this mile and a half and keep extending it. They need to understand that they're also going to have some liabilities in there.
Right.
And we're not always going to be there to pick up the slack for them.
Right.
That's right. Especially Muhammad.
This one isn't too egregious.
That's true.
I mean, they're only,
that's where bad at.
This one's only a few blocks north of their homes there, so it's not one of the worst examples, but I hear you.
Yep. All right.
Okay, any more discussion?
Can I ask a question? Is that worth something for us to have a further conversation about? Because we had an agreement on Filer Road, and then the boundaries of Urbana went further south, and so this is happening more and more, so maybe Highway should have more conversation at another time on how to approach these things.
Well, there's no other community besides Champaign Urbana where we have any agreement to do anything. It's on a as needed, as requested.
Okay.
So,
because I remember you mentioned that.
Well, I live in a community that's growing really fast. The community's not growing fast, but the area's growing really fast because they're extending their arm as far as they can, farther than they need to, in my opinion. Remember, I'm a farmer. But when they do that, I think they need to understand that there's some liabilities that go with that, that we're not always going to be there to pick up the pieces for.
Because see, what happens is when a community expands and they take a township road within their borders, it automatically becomes a municipal street. Mm-hmm. If it's a county road, it stays a county road. But if it's a township road, it automatically becomes a municipal street. Mm-hmm. So they take on that liability automatically by expanding their, you know, their corporate.
And I don't think we shouldn't help them. I think we could. Someday the kitty may go dry.
Mm-hmm. My question, and maybe because I don't understand this, is whenever a village or a township or whatever or a city annexes property into their corporate area, then if there are some county road or bridge in that, that then becomes part of the municipality, and then they take care of all of that?
Yep.
That's not ours anymore?
No, not county.
It's not a township road.
Right, but if there was county property in the middle of that, like some
it.
Of these subdivisions are in the outlying area, I'm just kind of grasping in my brain.
Well, the only ones that don't become part of the municipality are the county highways, which are
the major roads
that,
okay.
you know.
And we have several of those county highways, short spurs of them in our village of Muhammad now, but they're still county roads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably don't get the care they need, but they're still county roads.
That's Chris's fault then.
I'm just kidding.
So is there anything in the statute that would allow intergovernmental agreements so that those roads then do become the responsibility of the expanding community? The county roads become?
No.
No.
You'd have, well, you could do a jurisdictional transfer, or you could do a maintenance agreement.
Okay.
Which we have We have a number of roads, like the road that runs through Sidoras and the road that runs through Homer. They're county roads through the villages, but the villages maintain them. We do not. So, or in some instances, we only maintain the roadway and the curb and the sidewalks, and everything behind the curb is the responsibility of the village. So it differs. We're actually doing an inventory of that right now for the whole ADA thing, trying to figure out where our sidewalks, who has jurisdiction of the sidewalks in those small communities, because as this deal in 1993 goes, I think we got a lot of deals like that out there that were never written down, were a lot of handshakes, and they've just been, you know, a lot of nods, and yet keep moving forward, and so we're trying to get our arms around that.
So we may have some cleanup work to do.
Yes.
So in the case of us having roads that that supposed to be transferred, that wasn't transferred, and wasn't put on paper, how do we go about solving that problem?
When we come to them, we got to go through this same process we just went through with these resolutions to clean it up so that it's all written down and approved. I don't think there's a lot of those out there as far as the entire roadway, but there are a number of communities that we're not really, we can't find anything written down as to who owns the sidewalks, who owns the curbs, why are we only taking care of the center of the roadway. Well, that's because it's been like that for 30 years. Well, that's a good answer until somebody gets hurt on the sidewalk and there's no documentation as to who owns it, who maintains it. So, yeah.
I just wanted to, going back to this issue about, you know, liability on who's maintaining these things. If this were in the county, we'd be in the same, or sorry, in the township, we'd have the same, we'd be in the same boat, right?
Yeah.
So we don't much care whether it's in the village or the, for a particular case of bridges, we don't really care which side of the line it's on.
No.
Is it more likely that we'd meet the, is it more likely, is the threshold going to be higher based on the financial qualifications that, I mean, do we want these to be in villagers or do we want these to be in the townships?
Well, most villages would have, because the villages are part of the township's assessed valuation, so the township's going to have a bigger assessed valuation, right, than most of these villages. So the villages are going to qualify easier.
Okay, so the incentive is for the villages to take these. There's more likely that we'd be participating in this if it's in a village than if it's in the township.
Yes, that's right. That's the way I would perceive it, yes.
Well, village, the township doesn't get to count the assessed valuation in the village.
It doesn't.
As its valuation, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
They
well,
tax them, don't they?
Because Champaign County gets to count the entire assessed valuation of the entire county. The village can only count, for its purposes, the assessed valuation of the village, but the township gets to include everything within the township, just like the county board gets to include everything.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's a good point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think you're that supports John's argument that we'd like to see these in the townships rather than the villages.
Well, Muhammad, what's their population now? Is it over 15,000?
No.
No?
I think
but it's probably getting...
Well, I don't know how accurate it is. It's
okay.
Seven is what they're saying, but I'm sure we're more than that by now.
We're 12.
But we have,
really?
As you know, some county roads. The one in front of Lake of the Woods, that's a county road, and we got to Turkey Farm Road, which... it's not the proper number, but that's what we all call it out there. That's a county road.
That was. Now it's township.
Oh, did you give that to us?
That hasn't been a county road for how long, Drew?
Oh, my gosh. At least 16 years.
Well, see, I'm old. Well, at least it used to be. How did you get rid of that? How come you pawned
I'm
it
sure
off
I could find
us?
The paperwork, John.
I see the paperwork.
There's two nods and a shake of your head.
Just look the other way, Patsy.
Best I leave this meeting. Okay.
We'll tell you when we get to collusion.
Collusion or collision?
Collusion or collision, right. Or maybe. Oh, collusion
okay.
Is collusion.
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
What are we voting?
Number eight.
We're buying the bridge.
All right. So the next item, nine, resolution appropriating $150,000 from county's motor fuel tax for engineering services for the construction of North Lincoln. I know this is a favorite topic of Mr. Jay's, so I was thinking he was going to make the motion, but probably not going to happen, huh? All right. So the Bill Gray has... We've had conversations about the engineering fees related to the preliminary engineering one, which is basically all the very preliminary environmental stuff and noise. They have to do a noise study and so forth on that. And a lot of that is already done. And the bills have come to him, and he's wanting to send our 50% to us. So I asked him, well, what's the estimated cost for PE2, which is basically the design of the roadway to have the plans ready for construction. We looked at the contract with Hanson's and did an analysis of our of our cost on that. So between PE1 and PE2, we estimated that the county's 50% share for the engineering services on Lincoln Avenue would be in the $150,000 range. So this is a resolution, because I'm going to start receiving bills soon from the city of Urbana to pay those bills that we received from the city, that they're receiving from Hanson Engineering. And it's all laid out in the intergovernmental agreement that was signed back in 2011. The parties agree that the total estimated cost 3.6, of which 1.4 shall be funded with STPU funds, and the $2.2 million balance of the funds needed to meet the estimated cost shall be divided equally between Urbana and the county. So this is the beginning of the expenditure of that $1.1 billion. We have not spent a nickel on Lincoln Avenue yet. This would be the first expenditure, first resolution for the project. And I think Patsy has some good news of going to be cheaper than expected, because I missed a meeting.
Yeah, he's not doing his job.
I'll move approval.
I'll second.
Been moved in second, and it's open for discussion.
Well, all I want to share is from the COATS meeting, it was mentioned that there's been an increase in federal funding for the Lincoln Avenue section, and meaning that it will be less for the county, and amount was not mentioned.
Right.
And Mr. Blue indicated seeing is believing. So.
Well, what happened is, and we had this discussion, I think, 2 or 3 months ago, that the Illinois Jobs Now money, we were trying to make that go to Lincoln Avenue, and they said, no, you can't. You got to use it all on Olympian Drive. Well, when you put more money on Olympian Drive, that means less federal funds have to be obligated to Olympian Drive. So we can take those federal funds now and move them and obligate them to Lincoln Avenue. Now, until we get done with Olympian Drive over the railroad and done with Olympian Drive on the west end where it attaches to Duncan, we're really not going to know exactly how much of that pie is left. But what they're saying is whatever's left can be obligated to Lincoln Avenue.
This is the last. This is the last of the fringe roads.
Sure.
I mean, under the existing agreement.
No.
Is that correct? No.
No. There's.
What else have we got?
The two that I can recall immediately are Curtis Road over to First Street. That whole corridor was supposed to be First, all the way over to Staley, and we've never. And that's a village of Savoy.
Okay,
project.
So the part between First and Neil, Curtis is still, or Neil, whatever it is called,
yeah.
There is still
so there. There'll be some kind of railroad structure there,
Duncan,
at some point in the future.
Dunlap.
Yes, right. And then Prospect, north of the North Prospect part that's still kind of the old oil and chip roadway. Mm-hmm. I think there's a mile up there that's still in that fringe road agreement, and I believe that's everything at that point.
I'm sorry, I asked.
So.
Diane?
in the scheme of things, as we start peeling money out here for these projects, I thought at one point there was a something said that we would have the ability to try to re-encumber some of these funds back somehow. Am I thinking something? Somehow I'm thinking a $300,000 number from somewhere on this project.
You thinking of the engineering oversight that we were providing on the Olympian project, which we were going to get reimbursed for?
Yeah, we are getting reimbursed for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
You guys are great. I don't forget anything, do you, girl?
Well, I do, but this isn't my favorite project, as you know.
Yeah, we have been providing engineering oversight and then billing the consultants, who in turn is billing the city, who in turn is paying us for oversight on Olympian Drive.
So then that should help with the Olympian, and then this is Lincoln, so there are actually two separate items here?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah, this one is specifically for Lincoln Avenue, but it kind of all gets melded together.
That's why I get confused.
Yeah.
Jim?
Talking about going after money. So money Naomi asked for from the state to bring back, that's still open, and then there's federal money that she was talking about, right?
Well, the letter that Naomi sent to the state, remember, was the state said no.
Right. And we're still not, can't go after that.
No, that's the money that's getting put into the Olympian Drive, which frees up the federal money to go to Lincoln Avenue.
Okay.
Let's see if that's the same. But see, the deal is with federal dollars is there's kind of a cap. There's an 80-20 split. So the maximum amount of federal dollars you can put into a project is 80%. The locals have to match 20% to show good faith effort in building the project. If we'd have been able to use IJN money and there was enough left, we could have paid for the whole project with that. But because that's basically what we're doing with Olympian Drive. We have federal money, and then IJN money is being used as kind of the local match for both of those projects. And we were hoping to increase that federal money on Olympian and then be able to take that IJN money and put it on Lincoln, because there's a lot more flexibility with the IJN money.
Right.
But the letter was rejected by the secretary because they said the money was specifically appropriated for Olympian Drive and we can't move it to another project.
Okay. Jay, you had something?
I'm just overwhelmed.
Still rumbling about
I saw some smoke coming out over there.
Okay, any more discussion?
Wait till we get to the Dewey Fisher project if you're overwhelmed now.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
All right. We got some of Mr. J's. Enjoys. I didn't put it in a spreadsheet for you. I'm sorry. It's a Word document, but there's a lot of numbers there.
Thanks.
Got to go through.
You made it so small I can't read.
I know. I didn't realize that until I printed it out.
So I can read them.
So now it's like smoke and mirrors, right?
Thank you.
I just put this together last night because I actually just got this information last night. When I put this item on the agenda originally, I was hoping it was just, hey, guess what? Dewey Fisher Road project was bid. It came in under the estimate, and we're moving forward. But that didn't happen. It never works out as well as I would hope. But there's still...
Jeez.
Good days ahead, I think, here.
$7 million?
Yeah, it's a big project. This is the biggest project we've ever taken on in Champaign County as far as a public works roadway project goes. So we'll kind of walk through what I got here on the sheet and can stop and ask questions at any time. I don't know why there's blank sheets on the back. I think the Word document expanded into something that I didn't want it to, and it just all printed out, but... that's so the engineer's estimate on the Dewey Fisher Road project was $7,197,000 and some odd dollars. And when we do those engineer's estimates, the consultant does one, we review it, it's sent down to Paris, IDOT, they review it, it's sent over to Springfield, they review it. So it gets four sets of eyes looking at it. So you feel like it's a pretty good estimate by the time four different groups take a look at it and revise it. because it started out at like 6.9 some million, and it grew a little bit by the time it got through all those reviews. They opened the bids a week ago today. Now, remind you, this is a bid that is opened at the state level. So whenever we have federal and state and local dollars like this Dewey Fisher Road project has in it, the state actually administers the contract. So they take the bids, they open the bids, they award the contract, the contractor signs a contract with the state of Illinois. The state of Illinois sends us everything. It's our project to oversee, do all the engineering on. We send the pay estimates to the state. The state pays the contractor, and then at some point the state bills us for our portion of the project. So it's all we are is kind of the overseer of the project, and they're the actual contracted agency. So bids were opened on Friday. We got two bids. Cross Construction was the low bid at exactly $7,750,000. That's quite a number.
That is impressive.
That they can get it right to the penny.
I would have put a 0.01 so they didn't think I was jiggering it.
And Open Road Paving, who is the other contractor who does this kind of work in the area, their bid was $7,797,000 and some odd. So we're only $47,000 apart on a contract that's almost $8 million. That's a pretty small spread. So the difference between the engineer's estimate and the bid was $553,000, which is 7.68% over the estimate. So it's a big dollar number, but the percentage is below 10%, which is what we always kind of use as a threshold at the county level anyway. As long as we're within 10%, we typically would award a project. Now, IDOT will be the awarding agency, but they have contacted me to make sure that we want to move forward with the project because the estimate is, I think their threshold's like 3%. They automatically award it. If it's over 3%, they want buy-in from the local agency that, this looks like something we want to move ahead with. The little table there in the middle, which kind of came out small, is actually from a joint agreement that was signed between the county and the state last year for the division of the costs on this project. So you'll see there's a number of different pots of money. We got TARP, which is 80,000-pound truck route money, Highway Safety Improvement Funds, which are the HSIP funds, STR money, which is the federal dollars that we get from IDOT, and then LA local agency. So the agreement, like I said, was $6,940,000. That was back last year before the estimate was revised up to the $7,197,000. So we have passed three resolutions through the county appropriating funds for this project. 8321 was $1 million from motor fuel tax. Resolution 9027 was $400,000 from federal aid match. And then 9028 was $1,775,000 from motor fuel tax funds. So we got $3,175,000 that we have appropriated to this project through resolutions. To date, between the right-of-way and the engineering on the project, we have used up $733,000 of that appropriation, which leaves us with funds remaining for construction from the county appropriated resolutions of $2,442,000. I mean, those are round numbers, but that's where we're at. Okay? So between all the state and federal funds from the joint agreement, which is the small table up above, you know, STR, HSIP, and TARP, they had agreed in the original joint agreement to $4,765,000 in outside participation in the project. Okay. But when the bids came out, I started asking a lot of questions at Paris and at Springfield, and the way IDOT runs this thing is they don't allow me or anybody else to see the bid tabs, which actually show the individual items and the cost for them, because if we were to say we don't want these prices, we want to rebid it, then they want to keep the individual bid tabs so that nobody knows what other people bid, because then it becomes a, you know, if they rebid it, you kind of already know what everybody bid. They're going to show you the final number, but they won't show me the individual items. So I've talked to Paris, I've talked to Springfield. They've pretty well both guaranteed me, well, they have, that they saw no real anomalies in the numbers. It wasn't like Cross Construction bid a huge number on asphalt or a huge number on dirt. It was just kind of an across the board, everything was higher than, you know, what our engineer's estimate was. Because sometimes when you see a number like $7,750,000 and 0 cents on a project this big, you start thinking, well, did they bid $3 million on mobilization so they get all their money up front, you know, or how did they come to this number? But from IDOT, look at the project, and again, I haven't been able to see it because they won't allow me to. They say that the individual item bids seem to be, there doesn't seem to be any great anomalies. So they are recommending that we proceed with the project. They asked me if I would recommend the same, and I said I'd be glad to, but I'm going to get some kind of consensus from my highway committee before I move ahead with this huge expenditure of funds. In the meantime, in a wrestling match with the IDOT local roads engineer, he finally agreed that the state and the feds would help us out with the overage in the project. And this just all happened yesterday at like 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So the second sheet you'll see, IDOT has agreed to allocate additional federal funds to the project based on 80%, and that's what we talked about with the Olympian Drive, Lincoln Avenue thing, is it's 80-20 at a max on federal jobs. So what he said is, okay, we had an original joint agreement, that $6,940,000, which comes from that table on page one. The low bid was $7,750,000, so there's a difference of $810,000. He said, we'll be willing to participate in an 80% cost share of that overage above what your original joint agreement was with us. So that comes up to be $648,000 in federal participation, which leaves us with $162,000 in local participation. So if you add it all up to get to that $7,750,000, the state and federal participation is $5,413,000. Local participation is $2,337,000. And if you go back to the first sheet, we still have enough in our appropriation that we've done through the resolutions in order to cover this. So bad news is project came in high. Good news is they're having some, I don't know why they feel so nice towards us, but they are. They're willing to help us out with the participation and cost. Cross Construction is a local contractor who's done a lot of work for us. I have faith that they will do a good job. If we were to rebid the project, I don't think the prices are going to get any better. And we would not have enough time in the summer. If we rebid it in March, then you're April, May before you get a contract. You're not starting until June. Project would be open during the winter next year when it looks like this outside, kind of like over there on High Cross Road. Not what we want. So I'm going to recommend to you guys that we accept their bid. We don't need a formal vote or a resolution of any kind because it's IDOT who's actually making the award. I just wanted a consensus from this group that my decision was similar to what you guys are thinking.
Okay, Chris.
Is this customary for IDOT to actually agree to participate in these overages?
They did tell me that this is it. If the project goes over, let's say you guys run into a $200,000 overage on the project, don't expect any more. It's customary if, how do I say this without, it's customary if they like you, let's put it that way.
Okay.
I mean, honestly, that's...
It's not unprecedented.
It's not unprecedented. And if you kind of, you know, make them mad, they're probably not going to be... I mean, it's literally, it can come down to that at some point.
Well, congratulations anyway. You saved the county $648,000.
It's a chunk.
That is a chunk. Yes, sir.
Was that a couple nods and a handshake or...
No, this is, well, we have to do another joint agreement, which Patsy will have to sign. And there were no, there was no beer exchanged or anything of that nature.
Give them more beer, see if we can do the 100,000.
Yeah.
I think construction apparently in the area with Tuscola going on and everything, that the city prices increased.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And
so
there's,
I think we better get on it as soon as we can and get it
going. Yeah. I think they're... At least the plans are for IDOT to have quite a bit of stuff on the March and April letting, a lot of asphalt work. Now, I haven't seen the bid prices, but I'm going to assume the asphalt's relatively close to where we estimated it at, because asphalt prices are actually going down, I've been told. So oil miracles never cease.
Yeah. Labor costs are going up.
Labor costs, are, so it all balances out, right?
Diane?
I just wonder, too, that with this bid and whatnot, we actually, with the two being very similar and as close as they are to each other, you know, you've pretty much, that's the way it's going to be, and I don't see redoing this or whatever. But I'm also wondering, too, with all that and the asphalt and whatnot, with the price of oil and gas and all of that, that maybe there will be a little savings getting going on it now versus what they put in the bid when they put the bid together, the prices were up.
Well, I'm not willing to take the chance to get a lesser price in order to not be able to build it this summer, which is basically the chance we're taking.
No, I think we need to get
done. I'm just saying we might benefit, actually, in the long run.
I hope so.
Getting it going.
I think the townships are going to benefit quite a bit this year in their oil and chip programs because the price of liquid asphalt continues to go down, and we usually wait until April to bid those programs because they're quick turnaround, and you can get the contracts ready and go do the work. So we should, assuming that everything goes good with this, I would say around 1st of April, if weather permits, we should have a contract and be ready to start doing some work out on Dewey Fisher Road. Because if we don't start by sometime in early April, we're not going to get it done by the time the weather turns on us in the fall, because there's a lot of work in this project. If you take the working days, and we always have to estimate how many working days a project's going to take, and you say between April and October 15th there's X number of working days, the project is supposed to take longer than that. Might have been why the prices were a little bit higher, because the contractors know they're going to have to work overtime, they're going to have to throw more labor and stuff at it than they normally would for a project, but I felt it was in our best interest to get it all done in one construction season, even if it costs us a little bit more. Let's hope that happens. Let's hope it doesn't rain all summer, and you know, but in a perfect world, it'll be all done and everything will be ready to roll about Halloween next year.
How's the closure of the existing road going to work?
We're going to do 95% of the project under construction. There are some crossroad cuts that we have to do in order to replace culverts, so there'll be 1 or 2 day closures.
So we don't have to go, we don't have to completely scrape the road?
No. Most of the work is being done outside of the shoulder, so we're doing a lot of dirt and shoulder work and ditch work. So we will mill and overlay, but even when they're doing that, they'll have flaggers out there.
But the sub surface is staying the same?
Yes.
Damn.
This is kind of off the sideline, but do you guys own that big batch of gravel sitting out there on the 1000? You know where it curves in and you come into 1000 when you come into Dewey off of 3100?
No, that's
or
a township.
Yeah, that's a township.
Oh, because I'm just like, that thing is just right in the way of where everybody drives on that curve. And you can't see some of the people coming around that curve because that big pile of gravel, but it might be gone now.
Yeah, it's not.
It was just a side question, sorry.
Yeah. Nope, that's not ours. Township.
I have an information question and then a sharing of information. Information question is, by statute, these bids were so close to each other.
Mm-hmm.
In theory, what is the percentage over in a bid that the state would allow amenity to take if it was not the lowest bid?
Unless you have good reason, there isn't any specific number.
There isn't
it could
any.
Be a penny. You're supposed to take the low bid
unless
you have good reason to not.
Okay. And the second is I learned that at the bituminous.
Were you at that?
You're
I didn't see you next to Mr. Maxwell. He was there.
You were really, you're really impressed with what I'm learning.
Holy
here,
cow.
That there's just been huge problems with the mix on asphalt with recycled shingle materials going into it. And this is a huge project. So when the bidding goes out for the asphalt, how does one have a conversation to make certain of what kind of mix gets used or what's happening in the profession on this issue?
The contractor does a mixed design, and you probably heard him say each contractor's got like 10 maybe mixed designs that they'll use on a roadway. Those have to be approved through IDOT and through the local agency before they can use them. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen a lot of RAS or recycled asphalt shingles down here. That's more of a Chicago thing
because
they got stockpiles of that stuff up there that they don't know what to do with. So they're trying to get rid of it. We don't have a lot of shingles. I mean, unless roofing dogs pulling off shingles and giving them to Cross or Open Road, I don't think we got a lot of shingles down
here. Okay, so it isn't an issue so much in our
No.
Okay.
Nope.
So how much roadway would you get from a 1,600 square foot
house? I didn't know the, you know, it was a little
feet.
Educational curve there that I learned about
200
this.
200 feet. I don't know.
You're making that up.
But
no,
it's
I
costing.
That. I saw that on something about recycling.
But it's costing a whole lot of money.
What is
where it's peeling?
200 feet.
Yeah,
it must be that quarter-inch thick pavement.
It all sounds great. The whole green thing. I think it's great. It's
spread them out maybe.
You really don't know what's in there. I mean, it's and they grind it up in little bitty pieces and they try to get it to melt, and if it doesn't and. And then they were talking about using road or car oil as a bottom for asphalt, and I was you don't really know what's in that either.
Mm-hmm.
So
I thought some of it was they pushed the edge on what percentage was going in, and they sort of came to a tipping point.
Right.
That's what happened in Times Beach, right? They were using dioxin-laden motor oil as some unscrupulous contractor was using that to seal the oil and chip streets in the village, and they had to, federal government ended up buying the village. Southwest of St. Louis.
They're doing something down there now.
Yeah, it's just some kind of state park or whatever they make of land when they can't use it for anything else.
So do I have consensus to move forward until IDOT we want to go ahead with this project? Okay. That's all I was looking for there. Olympian Drive. So they tried to restart and do some construction work out on the bridge over the railroad tracks. They got like 1 week of good weather, and then all this stuff set in, so they shut down again. They drove some piling and did some work around the railroad tracks, but basically the fill's done on the west side of the railroad tracks. They've driven some piling for the abutments, and they were going to start driving piling for the piers, and then the weather turned. So next, as soon as the weather breaks, they're going to jump across the tracks and do all the stuff in the Squire, the old Squire property, and build the east leg of Olympian Drive. The other end of Olympian Drive, which is from Clearview over to Duncan, actually got the low property purchased at the price that you guys said I could pay, which thank you, because I just kept sticking with it and sticking with it. And
that was $35,000?
It was $40,000. Yep.
Mm. And thanks to Unit 4, now we're up to $45,000.
Well, they paid $40,000 out there. That's why that number got to $40,000.
Yeah. Oh, I thought they paid
$40,000.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
They're generous.
So we got the low property. We've had some legal issues with the Atkins property, although they haven't haggled at all about the original appraisal that was given to them. It was just when Clint passed away, somehow their lawyers missed this piece of property and it never got transferred to their new name, which is Tag Warehouse, so it was still in the estate of Glenn Atkins. They wanted it made into Tag Warehouse, so they had to go through this whole process to redo it all because they had already closed the estate, blah, blah, blah. So we've gotten it to that point now, and we've got the paperwork all put together. They're going to be signing, so we're hoping that that project is bid somewhere. It'll be just like the Dewey Fisher project where it's bid by the state, but hopefully that would be bid in April. It's just about a 60-day, you know, type of project because you're just building a street from Clearview over to Duncan. So if we can get the acquisition of the property, we can get it bid in April. A contractor can start in June or July. They should be able to finish that by the time fall hits this year.
Is it going to be the same as what's in Clearview?
It'll be concrete pavement, yeah, two lanes with a bicycle, adjacent bicycle path on the south side. Then they're going to redo the, there'll be an intersection, obviously, with Duncan, where that'll all be kind of redone, and there'll be new geometrics there.
You know, those curbs are about this tall around that road. They're hell.
For?
When you come in, you find a nice place to land, and it's a bit windy. Oh.
I didn't know we were building roads for balloons.
Scoot across that concrete. Balloon road. Concrete.
It's a new one.
We can't even get protected bike lanes, and now you want something for balloons.
But you smack that tall curb, and it hurts.
I make
a don't hit the curb.
We line that road with lights.
It's like that. Yeah, right. Landing lights.
Landing don't lights. Do it.
I'm just glad to hear somebody's using that subdivision.
I was going to say that I'm happy that there's no development there.
For now.
Yeah.
Now the road's been built, that'll change.
Yeah, so we'll have the road done from Duncan to Lincoln, presumably by the end of this construction, or at least hoping. We would hope.
Oh, really? By the end of this? Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yep.
Do we have to do anything between Duncan and 150? Is that all okay?
Between Duncan and 150.
They end up getting
you mean Duncan Road?
I mean Olympia and 150, where the new Olympia drive where it hits Duncan.
That interchange or the intersection will be redone.
But from there on down to 150 is okay?
I keep asking this question, and everybody pretends it's okay. I guess I'll say that.
Hensley Township owns it down to the bridge.
That's scary, but go ahead.
And then from the bridge down to 150 is the city of Champaign's. So I know Hensley is really interested in giving up that piece from the bridge up to Duncan. But the city, and I asked the city that question last month, do you guys want to take that over? And they said, well, when we annex out there, obviously we'll take it over. And I don't know if that's going to be that too far away. I don't know. So is it okay? It's a township road, John. It's like Curtis Road. If you drive Curtis Road across the bottom of Urbana, you'd be amazed how many cars are on that roadway. And it's a narrow oil and chip road. Yeah. So I think you're going to have a similar situation out there.
They don't want it until it's making money.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wait till the trucks start increasing out there.
Well, yeah, but the fact of the matter is Hensley don't have a lot of money. So
no.
That was the issue, really.
Right. And Bob's got other bigger problems.
He's got
fry.
A lot of problems.
Well, trucks is a good point. I mean, that's what's the weight limit on that stub of?
80,000 pounds.
On the township road?
Unless otherwise posted.
Yeah.
Well, they might want to get some signs out there.
That's up to the township, too. But, yeah, it's going to be a bypass.
That's not going
to
last long.
Yeah,
that road, that township road's not going to last
Where's
long.
Where's
that
at?
Starts taking trouble.
Well, I don't know
Duncan?
That they have the
I'm
people
trying
it takes to get a
so find myself.
I don't think people have wrapped their heads around what is going to happen when Dewey Fisher gets widened.
Yeah,
but that's still only going to be two lanes.
Yeah, but I mean carrying it
four.
Yeah,
during harvest season when the ground's firm
and
all.
Well, it used to be that you're right because it used to be in the spring of the year
they
posted a lower limit.
I know.
We're just trying to make it safe so people quit dying out there.
I don't know.
I look at that warehouse out there on North Madison.
I'm worried about that too, though. I could see that,
but I don't think people coming out of the warehouse necessarily want to go past the interstate and keep going north to 136. I don't know where they'd be going if they are.
Right away, but yeah, I don't know if people will figure it out.
I think they're getting on the interstate.
Because, yeah, you're from Bahamas to North Prospect. That's how you're going to get there, right?
We used to park on that way.
Well, I think, and then the connection with Olympia Drive through there, there's going to be a lot of
the part that goes over the bridge.
Behavior change.
Yeah.
Turn left, or go over the interstate, turn right.
Yeah. I could
crawl
in there. Yeah.
From Southwest.
So, the short answer is we've had that discussion with the township.
Oh, that's true, too.
They understand
Daily Road.
What's going to happen, and the city's not willing to take the road at this point.
On the other side of Bradley in that area.
So
I think they will be eventually, though, because it'll be to their benefit.
It will be to their benefit. And I know there's long-term discussions about that whole, there being an interchange out there.
Well, yeah.
You know. But I think
they have
that's
some hard feelings over the Dobbins Downs thing, I'm sure, still lingering. So.
You think? All right.
It's apparent with the road situation in Dobbins Downs.
It's a beauty. That's all I have, man.
So, yeah?
Yep.
Okay, which item are we going to put on the designated?
The whole thing?
Yeah, it's all.
Everything, 7, 8, and 9.
Mm-hmm.
And I will get that resolution kind of jazzed up, get it to you, Linda.
Duncan runs north-south.
So, may I ask another question from the Fuad's meeting?
Yeah.
There was mentioned a lot of work on roads in Muhammad. Is that all within the budget of Muhammad, or do we have any obligations?
They're talking about Duncan and what now?
No obligation.
Okay, because there's a lot of work
was
announced on
that curved part that goes from Clearview.
Was the village engineer from Muhammad actually there? Because that would be the first in, like, the history of GUA.
So,
was he there?
Olympian connecting by the school.
I don't know.
To the back, yeah. Because
he's
dead
going through
right
to
there.
Has never, maybe once.
I've got you.
And then,
no.
And
what John's talking
a lot of
County Road 900.
What John's talking about is that
so
little piece
in the village, like,
there's that township.
That was my question, but it said Muhammad projects. That's why I was asking, does that mean that's all village money, or is
here
some of it that leaks over to county obligation?
Well, there's some stuff going on with 150 and 47. That's all IDOT. And I know they're doing some work on those, so that might be all encompassing in what they're talking about Muhammad.
Yeah, that's who we're buying.
I can't imagine the village of Muhammad's doing a lot of money
in
their road.
I didn't think, so that's why I was asking just for clarification.
And Hamels.
I know 47 going from Muhammad up to US 136.
Yes.
They're going to do a lot of work on that this summer.
Well, even if we get to Duncan, we got to buy from the Lowe's.
Right. Right.
Okay, other business? Yeah.
On my Facebook, someone posted about 5774 interchange.
I looked for that. I didn't find anything.
Going. Del Perone posted all the lists and said it was supposed to be done by 20 or start by 2020 or something like that.
Where'd that list come from?
It was something IDOT put out.
I need to be your friend.
I get it. Engineering or construction done by 2020?
Engineering, maybe, but I saw the post and was like, how do they get this information before we do?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I thought, Jeff.
Unless it's in the long-term IDOTs, I mean, they publish a book that's about this thick, and unless you pour through it, it may be in there. But I haven't heard anything about that's $100 and some million.
There's no
funding stream to pay for it. I don't know how they could say it's
$7 million. They were posting the whole thing.
Huh.
I'll see if I can find it.
Okay.
Hey.
I didn't bring my phone, or I'd bring it up.
There's no typical annual funding stream that's going to pay for that project. It's going to have to be put into a bonding bill or something of that nature in order to get built. I mean, that would take the entire allocation to District 5 for a number of years just to build that interchange. So, I don't know.
Now, don't ever say I'm crazy, but maybe somebody in Springfield's lying.
Apparently, they know somebody else and probably just get heard about it or something like that.
Sounds good. I don't know who would have made that
I'll look at it. She had some numbers next to some of the information, so maybe it'll be make it more clear. But it was kind of surprising. So it should be good. But.
Now, they may have said that it'll be ready for construction, and the price tag is this, and if we get funding, appropriate funding for it, we can move forward in 2020. The engineering's, I'm assuming that you're 5 years out, the engineering and the right-of-way, it's going to be even tough to be at that point by 2020 with, you know, the size of that project.
Okay, any more other business? Okay, move for adjournment.
Amen.
So moved.
So it's the Church of the Highway, huh?
The Vagabond.
There's that Olympian at Clearview.